I'm going to finish out the section of Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 through 17. Last week we took verses 7, 8, and 9. This week will be Hebrews 13, 10 through 17. I'm going to go back up to verse 7. Remember the ones who are your leaders, who spoke to you the word of God. And again, the emphasis from last week is spoke, past tense. This is not making reference to those who are leading them now, even though it's a present participle about their leaders. But our leaders who have spoken the word of God to us are those who have come before us, who ministered the word, and we study the ministry of that word. Of whom, while reflecting on the end result of their lifestyle, imitate the faith. Here we go with faith again. Follow their faith. Don't copy it. Let that be an imitation. We trust the Lord like they did. They show us what the faith is like that comes from God. The reason why we can receive what those who have said long ago, we can receive it today, is because of verse 8. Jesus Christ, yesterday, and the same today and forever. Same truth that was true in the early church is the same truth that is true today, because Jesus never changes. Verse 9. Because of this, do not be carried away with various and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be established by grace, not foods, in which the ones who have walked in it were not profited. He's talking about those who try to approach or attain spirituality through diets, like the Jews did. The eatings of certain foods, even the sacrifices that they would bring to the tabernacle area was food to eat. But they were participating in sacrificing animals. They were participating in food, and through it, it was their way of spirituality, or trying to attain it. But those who walk that way, and those who do walk that way, it doesn't benefit spiritually at all. So verses 10 through 17 tells us, beginning now our reading at verse 10, we have an altar out of which the ones who are serving the tabernacle have no authority to eat from. For the bodies of these animals are being burned outside of the camp, of whose blood, that is of these animals, is being offered concerning sin into the holies and through the high priest. Wherefore, or on account of which, in verse 12, also Jesus suffered outside the gate, in order that he might sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore then, we should come to him outside of the camp, while carrying or bearing his reproach. For we do not have here an abiding city, but we are seeking one that is about to come. Therefore, through him we should offer up a sacrifice of praise through everything to God. That is, making reference to the sacrifice, that is, the fruit of our lips, notice this, confessing to his name. Dative case. Not confessing his name, but confessing to his name. That's the name that we go by. That's the name that we identify with. We are confessing to his name. And you should not forget doing well and sharing. It all has to do with fellowship. looking out for the needs of the brethren, and koinonia is the word for sharing. For such sacrifices, God is well pleased with. Verse 17. Obey the ones who are your leaders, and yield. Hupekata means to give in or yield. For they themselves are watching on behalf of your souls as giving back or giving an account. You should do this, that is, be obedient and yield, in order that they might do this with joy and not groaning. You ever heard a pastor groan? Much groaning goes on. For this is unprofitable for you. We're in the final verses of the book of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews is giving instructions, giving commands. Verse 7, remember the ones who are leading you, who spoke to you the word of God. That after reviewing their life and the end result of their life, then imitate the faith. When we go through the book of Acts together in the first hour, these are the ones who have left the word of God to us. These are the ones who have left an example of what it means to live by faith. Because Jesus is the same. We have the same Jesus today that Paul did. Same truth, walking the same way, hasn't changed. Culture is different, society is different, and that has put pressure on Christians to compromise and even change their walk with the Lord to fit in with the pressures that we have. But Jesus is the same. We are not to be carried away with various and strange teachings. For he says it is good for the heart to be established with grace and not foods. Food is just the example of a whole religious system of people attempting to reach spirituality through physical or ceremonial practices. In the world we call it works, but in the church we call it spirituality. The flesh is just doing different activities, but it's still the flesh. It's still religion. It is Paul in Romans 14 that says the kingdom of God is not made up of food and drink, but it's the power in the Holy Spirit and the peace and the joy in the Spirit of God. There's a difference between walking in the Spirit, and there's a difference between functioning in religious practice. And even Christians in our day, and we in positions of leadership, we are responsible for this in part. It is more comfortable for people, Christians, to have a religious system to function in than it is to follow Christ. It's easier to relate to a church system than it is to relate to Christ. Just as the email that I read to you. It's just easier to participate with the other Christians, find a nice church that you like. It's easier than coming in contact with the Word of God and actually realizing that the Word of God is speaking to me. And that His truth has been the same and is the same today. I'm the one that changes it to suit my comforts and my conveniences. Even as a Christian. So there's a constant struggle to stay with the Word. I don't even trust my own self when I read, whether it's Greek, Hebrew, English, whatever it is. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, through the accuracy of the Word of God as we have it, keeps your mind, keeps you pinned down and thinking straight. I just don't trust it when my mind starts twirling off into fantasy land, thinking that I have some kind of dream and vision that not only does it not line up with the Word of God, it goes against the Word of God. So he says about foods in verse 10, he says, we have an altar from which those who are serving the tabernacle, that's a present participle, those who are serving the tabernacle, they have no authority to eat from our altar. If they're finding their spirituality through the eating of foods and meats and the killing of animals and not in participating in the sacrifice that was made in Jesus Christ, they have no authority to eat from the same altar. You can't mix the two. In fact, as we've read, there are statements here that basically are telling them Jesus went outside the city. He went outside the gate. He died up on a hill. And the reason why he did that, why he did not die inside the city, is because the gospel message will be to the Jewish person and all people who try to find comfort and security in a religious system, is that you have to go outside the camp. The camp. The encouragement is to come out to Christ. Come to Him carrying His reproach. We don't like that. I don't like it. I don't like it when I'm with other Christians and all of a sudden somebody will say something and all of a sudden something will pop in my head about what God's Word says and I'm going, I know I'm with the brethren, but if I say this about what God's Word says, they're going to unload on me. Not even taking it in consideration whether it's true. Not even saying, well, we'll go look it up. They'll unload. Because we have our own approach and our own ideas as to what God's Word says. And it's changed around for our own benefit. He says in verse 12 that Jesus suffered outside the gate in order that He might sanctify the people through His own blood. But those who are offering up in verse 11, those who are offering up the animals, they throw the animals away outside the camp. It's unclean. But the blood they present within the holies through the high priest concerning sin. He's showing the parallel. One is just going through the motions. The high priest is taking the blood of that animal and the animal's thrown outside the camp. So Jesus goes outside the camp. The message to the Jewish or Hebrew person is you have to go outside of Judaism. When John the Baptist came, he came baptizing with a baptism of repentance, but it was for the Jews. For them to repent meant that they had to leave off from their security in Judaism and they had to be ready for the coming of Messiah. They couldn't do both. They couldn't trust in Him and trust in Judaism. It is not the Lord's way to empower man's Christian systems. He doesn't empower systems. He doesn't want people to relate to a tangible church system. He wants people to relate to Him directly, to Christ. As we're going through the book of Acts, we're studying about personal relationship. The Lord working through personal lives in a big way. Because they had a simple approach. Of course they had to go through years of preparation. Of course they had to go through a humbling process before they came to a point where they could be used. To where Peter could say, why do you look to us as though our power or godliness made this man to walk? Probably 3 years earlier, Peter would have said, hey John, do you think it was you or me that did this? You know? Hey, I'm the one that pulled him up. I yanked him up off his knees and up. Straighten him up. Peter would have taken credit. Now he's not taking credit. That's what makes him a usable vessel. In verse 13 he says, we should come to him outside the camp while carrying his reproach. Can you imagine yourself a Hebrew or Jewish person, the entire city, the entire Jewish race is functioning in the religion of Judaism, and you're called to come outside of the system and just come to Jesus Christ. Can you imagine how you would be treated? That's why it's more comfortable in a system, because if you dysfunction in the ceremony like everybody else does, nobody gives you a bad time. But we're told to come to him outside the camp. The camp represents the religious practices. You have to come outside the camp, outside of Judaism, outside of religion, and come to him personally, and whatever you have to suffer for it, your personal identification with Christ, then you have to carry that with you. It's just interesting to me, it has been over the years, and I still get duped, I still get deceived. When I'm with Christians, I just relax. It's like, with the brethren. And you think that when you're with other people who are Christians, like, another Christian. But you better watch out. The non-believer, though he might not receive Christ or agree with the things of Christ, at least they will respect the people who have an honest and sincere relationship with Christ. It's really not the non-believers that give us a bad time. It's the people who are calling themselves God's people, the Christians. And Christian is a generic term in our society. We had people who began in the Greek class that said they were Christians because they believed in God. When we even studied how a person needs to be born spiritually, that was new to them. And they said, we just believe that everybody that's believed in God and went to church are Christians. Well, that's the way it is in America. But we've got the wheat and the tares together. We've got the religious Christians and the ones who are born of the Spirit of God. Both talk the same, look the same. People are called out individually by Christ. And we have to come outside the camp, bearing his reproach, all the name calling, in order to identify with Christ. Because in verse 14, there is no abiding city here for us. But we are seeking out. Notice epi on the front of the word. We are seeking out the city that is about to come. So we're passing on. We're not of this any religious system of this earth. We belong to Christ. And we're looking for the things of Christ. Therefore, in verses 15 and 16, we have three things. In summary, therefore we should lift up our sacrifice, that is the praise of our lips. We don't bring animals or beads or physical tangible objects to present to the Lord. We offer to Him the praises of our lips. That's our sacrifice. Confessing, notice the participle, while confessing to the name of Jesus, to His name. I belong to Jesus Christ. I confess to His name, and I identify with Him. He also says, secondly, and do not forget. Doing well and sharing. Two terms that are associated with relationships in the body of Christ. Doing well means looking out for other people. Look out for your brother and sister. And share. Ready to lend a hand, help out wherever the need is, if there is a need. Because God is being well pleased with such a sacrifice as this. And that's the key. God's pleased with that. That's our second sacrifice. The first sacrifice is with our lips, and the second sacrifice is identifying with those around us who are in need. And making sacrifice in contributing to their life. The third one is in verse 17. He says, be obedient to the ones who are your leaders. This is making reference to present time. In verse 7, it was the leaders in the past time. Same word for leaders. The word for obedience is the word persuasion. The connection is that as your leaders, the ones who are leading you now, share with the persuasion of the faith of the leaders before, that we are to yield to that. Yield to the leaders who are attempting to try to minister the things of Christ and bring forth that life of faith and persuasion from those who have come before us. And see how verse 7 and verse 17 fit in. Be persuaded by the persuasion that the leaders are bringing to you about the faith of those who have come before. Because the leaders are all connected. Same truth, same faith. And as I said earlier in the first hour, there are two kinds of faith, and you have to figure out which one a person is presenting to you. Either one that you practice with your mind, or one that comes from God. Obey, number one, and the second is the word yield. If I were to put it in paraphrase, it would be give them a break. You know? The reason why is because for they themselves are watching on behalf of your souls. He's not watching their souls, but on behalf of their souls. He's praying for them. God's Spirit many times, not just with those who lead up front, but God's Spirit many times will touch people to pray. And sometimes it's early in the morning, sometimes it's late at night, sometimes it's by the hour. Because God lays on your heart a need, or God lays on your heart some things that people are going through. And your identification with them. Those who are in positions of leadership, God wakes them up sometimes, or sometimes God doesn't let them sleep because He says there's need of prayer. So obey them, yield to them, for they themselves are watching on behalf of your souls, and you are to obey, you are to yield. Purpose in order that, hina clause, in order that they may do this with joy and not groaning. If you cause the ones who are leading you to be in stress and difficulty, this will not be profitable for you. It will be unprofitable. And I know of people in the past that have said, you look burdened. You look burdened down. And you need to be at peace and you need to trust the Lord. I'm looking at the very person who's given me all the difficulty. And I'm a person attempting to yield to the Lord for Him to use me in the body of Christ for the purpose for which He has, whatever that might be. If it's in a position of leadership, basically the Bible says, give them a break. Back off a little bit, you know. It has nothing to do with being up front in front of people preaching. It's a 24-hour-a-day job, function, vocation, calling. It's not on the clock. There is no clock. When God lays on your heart to get up and pray, or God lays on your heart, there's no time to go to sleep. You must pray, or pray during the day on behalf of people's souls. That's just a family function. That's just what we do. So he's saying, yield to the persuasion. Yield to them. Give them a break. Back off a little bit. Hold them accountable. It's almost like the Lord saying, you don't understand, I got him on the clock 24 hours a day. Give him a break. If it's important, if it's led by the Lord, great. If it's not, he doesn't need the added stress. Next week we will finish out, Lord willing, the book of Hebrews. All right, let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for another time together in your Word, and we pray that as your Word commands us, as the Word directs us, we pray that your Spirit would change and transform our way of thinking. We have our comfort zones. We have the things that we do that we find security in. But help us to realize that a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is individual, it's personal, it's very intimate, it's real, it's alive, not part of a religious practice. And we've been called outside the camp, bearing his reproach. So we should come to you outside the camp. It's personal. We should watch out for one another and share with one another and obey and yield. Seek Christ together and pray together and spend time in the apostles' doctrine and breaking of bread and fellowship and prayer. We pray that as we seek to follow you in the simple ways that you've presented to us, that the mighty power of your Spirit will be so real in our lives, not only in our group as we come together, but individually as we go our separate way. Help us not to be drawn away from the simplicity that's in Christ, as Paul said. We are simple people. We're just sheep. And we simply come to the Shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, for his sustaining power and ministry for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.